The tales on this podcast are dark, sometimes scary, and full of adult themes. As a warning, the original story called Urashima features sexual content and a traumatic death. Please exercise caution for children under 13. A whirlpool loomed in the ocean up ahead. Urashima could see it from miles away. It was a behemoth, its sprawling mouth a giant black hole on the ocean's surface. Its spinning tail stretched down through the ocean, a seemingly endless pit below. A small dolphin fin poked through the surface of the water near the whirlpool. Urashima cringed as the animal swam closer, suddenly getting pulled into its torrential current. Its body whipped around so fast it appeared on all sides of the spiral at once, then disappeared into the vortex. Urashima knew that a wise man would turn around and swim as far away as possible from this gaping maw. But Umigame, the sea turtle who was giving him a ride, had different plans. Instead of fleeing to calmer waters, Umigame headed straight for the violent underwater twister. If Urashima wanted to meet the princess of the sea, he had no choice. He held on as tightly as he could as the rushing current grew closer and closer, ready to pull him into its spin. I'm Vanessa Richardson. You're listening to Tales, a Parcast original. Every Wednesday, we dive into the dark origins of another fairy tale. You can find all episodes of Tales and all other Parcast originals for free on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. To stream Tales for free on Spotify, just open the app and type Tales in the search bar. This week, we're telling a tale called Urashima Taro, a Japanese story about a young man who sets off on a great adventure, but ends up learning that time is the ultimate thief. Coming up, we'll dive into the origins of this tale. Urashima is a popular Japanese folktale dating back to the 8th century. The legend is so famous that there's even a statue of Urashima in Mitoyo Kagawa. One of the things that makes it popular is the inclusion of Japanese deities. The Princess of the Sea is actually Princess Otohime, the daughter of Emperor Ryujin, also known as a dragon god and the guardian of the sea. Both reside in their undersea palace called Ryugujo, also known as the Dragon Palace, where much of the story takes place. This tale also contains details and tropes that span magical lore across the globe. In order for Urashima to travel to the Dragon Palace, he must pass into another realm, where animal-like creatures talk and time moves differently than in his real world. One day in a magical realm can equal hundreds of years in the real world, and vice versa. But the creatures of this Japanese realm share a relative disregard for the cares of humanity. They don't usually understand humans and can't be bothered to learn about them. So no matter where a person is in the world, it's important to be cautious when interacting with magical creatures, even if they may seem friendly. At the top of the hill, Urashima turned back toward the valley and his home, his heart heavy at the thought of leaving his family behind. He brought his fingers to his mouth and whistled a tune that he often practiced with his two boys. After a moment, he heard the tune repeated from below. He smiled with sadness. He'd taught his boys to say hello and goodbye with the whistle, but it didn't make leaving any easier. His mind savored memories of the night before, he and his boys playing games and laughing on the floor, and his wife leaning against the doorframe, smiling. She was the most beautiful woman in all the world. Urashima turned away and marched forward toward the ocean. He had promised them he would only be gone for a day, It wasn't easy, but he needed to provide for them, and deep sea fishing was the best way he knew how. And truthfully, Urashima loved his job. If he spent more than a few days away from the sea, he always grew restless, no matter how much he loved his family. Urashima craved the unpredictability of grand adventures, to brave the vicious unknown and prove his worth. And since his job kept his adventurous spirit sated, it allowed him to be an attentive husband and father at home. It was only a short walk from Urashima's house to the place where his boat was docked, but his legs still ached from his previous fishing trip, and his net felt heavy on his back. After a few steps through the sand, he paused for a break. He sat, closed his eyes, and took a long, deep breath, savoring the smell of the sea. But his peace was abruptly interrupted by a loud yell.
Guys, come look at this stupid turtle I found.
When he opened his eyes, he saw the scream had come from a young boy further along the beach. Urashima watched as three other boys ran up to their friend, laughing at something on the sand. He stood up, curious to see what it was. But as he moved closer to them, he realized they were standing over a small sea turtle, helplessly laying on its back. The boys were laughing and took turns spinning it round and round like a top. Urashima shook his head and made his way over to the group of kids. He was disgusted that they would take joy out of tormenting such a small creature. He would have never let his own boys get away with such a thing. As he got closer, he took his net and tossed it at the feet of the first boy, hooking his ankles in the woven ropes. Urashima pulled, and the boy quickly fell backward, causing his friends to laugh. But when Urashima stepped up beside them, they went silent. He was serious.
Your mothers would feel so much shame if they knew how you're treating this defenseless animal, he scolded.
He began to free the first boy from the net, and the other boys lowered their heads in embarrassment. After their friend scurried to his feet, the group hurried away. Urashima watched the boys disappear over the nearby hill, then turned to examine their victim. It was a small green sea turtle, barely larger than the palm of his hand, but thankfully uninjured. He fished to provide for his family, but he would never kill or taunt a sea creature for sport. He placed the turtle back on the beach right side up, aimed its face toward the water, and encouraged it to walk.
"You've got it, little friend," he said, worried that it wouldn't be able to walk properly.
But as soon as the little turtle had its bearings, it sped across the sand, practically kicking up a cloud of dust in its wake. Urashima chuckled as he watched it scurry into the water and swim off to sea.
"Looks like you'll be just fine," he said,
and soon he lost sight of it amongst the surf. He picked up his net, slung it back around his shoulders, and continued the trek to his boat. The rest of Urashima's day was pleasant. He set up his ship, sailed out to his favorite fishing spot, and got to work, catching a couple big ones. But night came quickly. His muscles ached, and his eyes were blurry with fatigue. He laid down in the aft and stared up at the stars. After a while, the gentle waves rocked him to sleep. But just as the moon reached its highest point in the sky, water splashed across Urashima's body, startling him awake. Urashima spat water from his mouth and swept the rest from his face. He was tired and his vision was blurry, but when he was able to fully open his eyes, what he saw made him freeze in place. Looming over his head was a massive sea turtle, at least twice as long as himself. Its front flippers hooked over the edge of the boat, and the weight caused the boat to tip dangerously toward the bow. Urashima scrambled back further toward the stern and wrapped his arms around the railing. The turtle didn't move at first, only blinking its round, luminous eyes. But then it let go.
The boat splashed back down, causing Urashima to land in a thud. Suddenly, the turtle was by the side of the boat, and it leaned in close to Urashima's face. It opened its enormous beak, and Urashima clenched his eyes shut, terrified the jaw would crush his skull. Then the turtle began to speak in a deep, slow drawl. "Hello, Urashima. Remember me?" He shook his head violently, hoping that the monster would realize it had the wrong man and spare him. The turtle laughed, blowing a short puff of air that caused Urashima's hair to whip violently around his face. Then it spoke again. "I am Umigame, the turtle you saved from those children on the beach some time ago." Urashima was still terrified. "But that was just this morning," he said, "and you were so small." Umigame let out a low rumble from deep in his chest, then said, "This morning? Well, perhaps that is why you could not be found until now." The turtle slipped back into the water and disappeared below. Urashima's body finally relaxed. He was not going to be eaten, he realized, but suddenly he missed the turtle. He leaned out over the water, searching for the giant beast. For a moment, he wondered if he had dreamed the entire thing and was only now just waking up. But then a large green head poked out above the waves a few feet away. It was real. "The Princess of the Sea wants to thank you for rescuing me," the turtle said. "She has asked me to bring you to the Dragon Palace to meet her." Urashima's heart leapt from his chest. The Princess of the Sea and the Dragon Palace? She was the stuff of ancient tales and magical realms, not his world. But could it really be true? Could she be real? Fear of the unknown crept through his veins, but another feeling followed close behind. It was a tingle in the tips of his toes and an itch through his fingers, one he associated with adventure. "If this is real, and it must be," he thought, "then how could I say no to such an extraordinary experience?" Urashima's pulse raced with anticipation, but he thought of his wife and his two sons. He knew he couldn't abandon his family, and he had promised them he wouldn't be gone for more than a day. So he turned to the turtle and asked, "How long will the journey take?" Umigame grinned and slapped his flippers against the surface of the water. "I am very fast. I can have you there in a matter of hours." Urashima couldn't help but smile. "And afterwards you will bring me home?" The turtle nodded. "Then how could I refuse an invitation from the Princess of the Sea?" Urashima said. It was only a few hours. His family would never know. Coming up, Urashima travels to another realm.
Hi, listeners. I'm so excited to introduce you to the newest Spotify original from Parcast called Blind Dating. Hosted by YouTuber Tara Michelle, Blind Dating is a fun twist on a classic setup. Strangers are introduced, conversation commences, and sparks either fly or fizzle. But here's the catch. Our hopeful singles have to choose their match before ever seeing their face. And once they've picked their potential date, we turn the cameras on, and then it's either butterflies or goodbyes. Blind Dating airs weekly with new episodes every Wednesday. You can find and follow Blind Dating free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the story. Urashima was a Japanese fisherman who lived a happy life with his wife and two young sons, but was often restless at home. One day, he saved a small sea turtle from the torment of a group of young boys. But later that night, the turtle returned fully grown. He told Urashima that the Princess of the Sea wanted to thank him for his kindness by inviting him to their realm,
and Urashima, thirsting for adventure, agreed to go. The turtle spun in a circle, celebrating Urashima's decision. Then it swam up to Urashima and pressed its forehead against his. Suddenly, Urashima felt a warm flow of energy surge between them and drip down both sides of his head. He ran his fingers across his neck and shuddered. Strange fleshy flaps had formed on his skin.
"They are gills so you can breathe," Umigame explained. "Now climb onto my back, wrap your arms around my neck, and hold on tight."
Urashima's body flooded with nerves. It didn't seem real, nor was he entirely sure that he was making the right decision. But he brushed his anxiety away and reassured himself that this was a marvelous opportunity. How many chances did one get to meet the Princess of the Sea? Nudged by the turtle, he slid from the safety and familiarity of his beloved boat and laid onto Umigame's leathery shell. When Urashima settled, the turtle quickly took off, speeding through the water. Urashima screamed with delight. He had never before moved so quickly, and the water felt like smooth silk brushing against his skin. Umigame urged him to hold on tight, then added a few acrobatic dips and spirals, causing Urashima to feel like he was flying through the air. The thrill caused his heart to race. He laughed and cheered more than he had in a long time. But after about a half hour, the turtle slowed. Not far out was a massive whirlpool. Urashima thought the turtle would swim around, but it only drew closer. The rush of the water grew louder. The whirlpool looked unreasonably deep, extending maybe hundreds of miles down into the dark depths below. Urashima began to grow dizzy, staring at the spin, and clenched the turtle's neck tighter.
"Don't be scared," Umigame said. "It is only the door."
Urashima was tempted to ask if they could go back, but before he could open his mouth, Umigame picked up his pace again. The water around them became more turbulent, and the turtle's shell teetered from side to side. Afraid of losing his grip, Urashima clutched so tightly that his fingernails dug into his arms, causing blood to ooze from his skin. Umigame charged straight for the middle of the vortex, and somehow Urashima managed to hold on. Urashima clutched his eyes shut, screaming loudly, but it might as well have been a whisper. As they dove deep into the water, a torrent of sound exploded in his brain. Soon there was nothing around them but darkness and sound. The whirlpool raged, and Urashima was certain he would not survive the torrent. But just as he thought he couldn't take any more, they burst through the center, and the noise went silent. Urashima opened his eyes. The water around him was clear and blue, warmed by gentle sunlight from above. Beautiful and elaborate coral structures rose from the ocean floor and extended as far as he could see, forming a massive underwater skyscape. It was a thing of beauty. The turtle grinned back at Urashima and said,
"Welcome to the realm of the sea. Now I will take you to the Dragon Palace."
Umigame dipped down and sped through coral pathways. Urashima tried to take it all in. Sea creatures of every color, shape, and size swam peacefully around them, laughing and playing. The sights were bizarre and awe-inspiring, but they were quickly pushed from his mind as the Dragon Palace, or Ryugujo, came into view. Ryugujo's sprawling gate rose from the sea floor. Its panels were thick, carved from massive chunks of green and blue sea glass. The palace itself had coral walls adorned with gold, crystals, and pearls. Umigame passed through the front doors, and Urashima was awed by its size.
bigger than even the largest homes from his town. He felt tiny and insignificant in comparison. In the grand hall, Urashima slid from Umigame's back and was told to wait quietly. Light shimmered through the windows, illuminating the colorful fish scales that decorated the walls. It was stunning. But soon the doors opened and Princess Otohime entered the room. The rest of the palace and the realm dulled in comparison. The princess glided gracefully through the water, her long jet-black hair flowing behind her. Her powder-white skin shimmered. Her frame was delicate and thin, her feet dainty. Her eyes sparkled as she smiled gently at Urashima and snapped her fingers. Suddenly, all of the water drained from the room. Urashima stumbled as he landed on the ground, then blushed from embarrassment. But he regained his composure enough to kneel at the princess's feet.
"Your Highness," he said, "thank you for inviting me."
Otohime grinned wide and bid him to stand.
"You are most welcome in our home, noble Urashima," she said, her voice soft and musical. "When Umigame told me of your kindness to him, I knew I needed to meet you for myself and thank you for saving my dear friend. So, thank you."
Urashima rose from the ground, his legs still shaking. He was unable to take his eyes off the princess.
"You are most welcome, my princess."
She smiled coyly, as if sensing Urashima's nervousness. Then she stood tall and said,
"This may seem strange to you, but I have been searching for a human man to serve as my companion, one of honorable character."
Urashima gulped, remembering his wife and family. He stammered in response,
"Princess, I am honored, but I already have I am married."
Otohime giggled.
"Not to worry," she said.
She stepped forward and planted a small kiss on Urashima's cheek.
"Your human wife does not concern me."
Urashima stumbled back.
"What I mean is, I cannot stay. I must return home to my family."
For a brief moment, a dark shadow passed across the princess's face. Urashima shivered, wondering if she was the type of god who would end his life for refusing her. But then the shadow passed. Suddenly, her eyes glowed with the warmth of the sun, and Urashima felt all the worries of the world melt away. It was as if there were no sorrow left in existence, only light and joy. Otohime wrapped an arm around his waist and leaned in to whisper his name.
"Urashima."
The sound tugged at his soul. It was as if he had never before heard it spoken, and all his days had only existed to get him to this one moment. The princess continued,
"Stay with me for just one night, and I will give you the world. Stay with me, and the men of the earth will bow at your feet. Stay with me, and you will never want for anything else ever again."
Urashima's knees went weak under her enchantment. He crumbled toward the floor, but was caught mid-fall by the princess's royal guards. She smiled knowingly and motioned for them to help him to her bedchambers. Urashima stumbled along in her wake, propped up by a guard on either side, with no other thought in his mind than getting to feel her lips against his skin. Over the next few nights, Otohime told Urashima about how lonely she had always been. All of the men in her realm feared her father, and his power over them made it difficult for her to find a partner that would give her affection. So she had needed a human companion, one that would love her for her and not fear retribution. As she spoke, Urashima felt bliss like never before. She was so soft and so sensitive. She needed him
and he needed her. Princess Otohime was the sun, and he was basking in her attention. For a brief moment, Urashima wondered if he should be afraid of her father as well, but Otohime told him not to worry. She promised him everlasting life, an eternity in her arms, and all his trepidation melted away. But before he knew it, Urashima had spent 3 nights in bed with a woman who was not his wife. In between tender kisses, and especially in the brief moments Otohime left the room, guilt began to work its way into Urashima's consciousness. On the morning after the 3rd night, Urashima turned toward the princess and told her about the guilt he was feeling, hoping she would soothe him like she had once before. But instead, the dark shadow reappeared across her face. She stood from the bed, only this time, it didn't go away.
"Still?"
she yelled.
"You still think of your human woman despite everything I have to offer you? I can give you eternal life. What can she do?"
Urashima reached out and tried to grab her hand, but she yanked it away.
"Don't touch me,"
she continued.
"If you miss her, then you should leave. I do not ever come in second."
Then she turned, refusing to show Urashima her face. Urashima's heart ached. Every fiber of his body was being pulled toward the princess, but faint memories of his wife's smile and his son's laughter toyed at the back of his mind. He knew that they were waiting for him. Deep down in his soul, he knew that beyond all of the glamour and power, they, not the princess, were who he truly loved. "I miss her," he whispered. As soon as he said it, he knew what he had to do. In an instant, disgust at what he had done to his wife coursed through his veins. He leapt from the bed and rushed to get dressed.
I have to get home. I've been gone a day longer than I told them I would be. My kids, my wife, they're waiting."
Princess Otohime turned back toward him, her face stoic.
"Fine,"
she said. Then she walked across the room and plucked a small, jeweled box from her shelf.
"I will have Umigame take you home today. You will have to take this Tamatebako for protection, but you must promise me you will never open it."
Urashima raised his eyebrows. He could not believe Otohime would let him leave so graciously. He took the box and carefully placed it in his pocket. Then he said, "I promise." Coming up, Urashima returns home. Now back to the story. Urashima had spent 3 magical nights with the Princess of the Sea, but guilt about leaving his wife and sons began to eat away at him. Thankfully, she allowed Urashima to return home, but handed him a small box before he left. It would protect him, she said, as long as he promised to never open it. After saying goodbye to Princess Otohime, Urashima wrapped his arms around Umigame's neck, just like he had days prior. Together, they began the journey home. But unlike the previous journey, Urashima took no joy in flying through the water. Instead, his mind was filled with remorse for having spent so much time away from home for something other than work. He wanted nothing more than to hold his family in his arms again. Fortunately, the trip didn't take long. He was soon on the beach near his town, waving goodbye to Umigame from the sand. And once the sea turtle was out of sight, he spun on his heels and ran as fast as he could toward his home, not bothering to pay attention to any of the other people on the way up the final hill. But just before he could see his house, he stopped himself. He wanted to surprise his sons as he always did. He stood near the top just before they would see him. Then he raised his hand to his mouth and whistled the tune he had taught his boys. The sound echoed over the hill, but only silence answered back. He whistled again, thinking they must not have heard, but still nothing. A small lump began to form in his throat, but he told himself they could be napping or perhaps had gone to town. Slowly, he climbed the last few feet up the hill to whistle one more time. But when he peered down into the valley, he saw that his home was no longer there. Urashima's stomach dropped. His once cozy cottage was now a pile of crumbled stone. The garden outside was overrun by weeds. He raced down the hill and toward the house, but nothing changed. His home was now just a pile of decaying remains. Urashima took off toward the village for answers, but the streets only brought more questions. The buildings were mostly the same, yet many of the businesses had different names. He had known everyone who lived there, but none of the people he saw seemed familiar. With no idea what else to do, he ran into the closest market to ask the clerk for information. The man behind the counter was elderly. He had a long, gray beard, a wrinkled face, and used a cane for support. Urashima hurried toward him, gasping for breath.
"Please, sir, do you know what happened to my house and family?"
The man's voice was kind and calm.
"Young man, it's okay. I will help you if I can. Now, please, give me your name and the names of your family members."
Urashima answered, but it only seemed to confuse the old man.
"That cannot be possible," he said. "Only one man by the name of Urashima has ever lived here. He disappeared at sea many, many years ago."
Urashima felt his chest tighten.
"Years ago?" he asked. "How long exactly?"
The old man paused, then answered slowly,
"Well, 300 years ago to the day."
Urashima grew instantly dizzy, as if he was back in the whirlpool, but he forced himself forward and ran from the shop. Unsure of where to go, he just ran and ran until he arrived at the graveyard and came to a stop. It didn't take him long to find his wife. The gravestone was old and weathered, but her name was clear, etched in bold letters. Tears flooded his eyes. He could not believe it. He scrambled around, looking to see if someone was playing a trick on him. Maybe this was all a joke. But soon, he found his son's graves as well. His entire family was gone. Urashima fell to his knees, sobbing. He called out to his wife in desperation, begging her to forgive him for his infidelity. He pleaded for his sons to love him despite leaving. He even looked to the gods and begged them to end this torment. He understood he had to suffer. He hadn't been content with the life he had, but now he could be. When nothing changed, he threw himself at the foot of his boy's headstones and curled into a ball, shivering with grief. Soon, day turned to night. Eventually, Urashima drifted off into a deep, exhausted sleep. At sunrise, Urashima woke to the peaceful sound of seabirds cawing far off in the sky. But the graves were still there. There was nothing he could do to bring his family back. He had failed them. Groggily, he pulled himself to his knees and kissed each of his wife and son's gravestones. After saying his goodbyes, he stood and staggered to the beach. It was the last place he had ever been happy. He had hoped the ocean would bring him solace. But as soon as he felt the sand between his toes, rage consumed him. Otohime had tricked him. He hated her for it. He reached into his pocket and pulled out the jeweled box she had given him for protection, but it had offered no more help than his fishing nets offered their prey. To spite her, he would open it. Urashima shouted a curse to Otohime and lifted the lid. Slowly, a thin trail of vapor rose from within the box. He was scared at first, but then it just hovered in the air. He studied it curiously. Suddenly, he felt his body grow weaker. His knees creaked. He glanced at his hands and realized that wrinkles were spreading. He was aging rapidly. For a brief moment, panic set in. He closed the box and halted the process. His hands appeared older, but not old yet. He could end it now, walk back into town and start over. But as he looked around the beach, he realized he was already far too late for everything that actually mattered. His life had passed by without him, and now he was alone. So Urashima dropped the box to the sand and let the lid fall open. He closed his eyes and opened his palms to the waves. A few moments later, his body crumbled into dust, and the wind swept it away. Urashima Taro is a tragic folktale. According to some tellings and interpretations, it serves as a warning against the dangers of infidelity, but a deeper message exists as well. It's common amongst fairy tale lore that when a person travels to a magical realm, time works differently. Nobody controls the time or can predict it. Not even the sea princess would have known what was waiting for Urashima when he returned home. She didn't seek to directly harm Urashima, and yet he still suffered because of his decisions. Anyone who has ever left their hometown for an extended period of time can relate to a lesser extent. Nothing is ever the same. Life moves on without them, and they can never return to the way things were. In other words, if you go off seeking greater adventures or greener pastures, you may end up with nothing. Life is fleeting. Be grateful for what you have when you have it. Thanks for listening to Tales. We'll be back next week with a new episode. You can find more episodes of Tales and all other Parcast originals for free on Spotify. Not only does Spotify already have all of your favorite music, but now Spotify is making it easy for you to enjoy all of your favorite Parcast originals, like Tales, for free, from your phone, desktop, or smart speaker. To stream Tales on Spotify, just open the app, tap Browse, and type Tales in the search bar. Join me next week for another dark and surprising fairy tale. Tales was created by Max Cutler and is a Parcast Studios original. Executive producers include Max and Ron Cutler, sound design by Russell Nash, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Carly Madden, and Aaron Larson. This episode of Tales was written by Amanda Hobseth, with writing assistance by Greg Castro. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Remember to follow Blind Dating for a dash of romance and rejection. YouTuber Tara Michelle hosts, and she's thrilled to help hopeful singles meet their match once they've survived the hot seat. Follow Blind Dating free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.